Let us begin today with a word of prayer. Father, we come seeking you this morning as we mourn the loss of our friend, grandfather, father, and husband, Lester Wilkinson. God, we ask that you would be amongst us this morning, that you would bring comfort, that you'd bring encouragement, that you'd be strength, Lord, where it's lacking. Most of all this morning, Lord, allow us to celebrate the life of which you have redeemed and is now in your bosom right now. God, allow us to realize the hope, Father, that you have for those who love you. To know that Lester right now is running like he never ran, farming like he never farmed, enjoying you like he's never enjoyed you before. God, may we celebrate that truth this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Lester Thomas Wilkinson, 92, of Rustburg, passed away peacefully in the presence of his family, Saturday, October 24th, 2009. He was born November 1st, 1916, to Thomas Benjamin Wilkinson and Annie Dawson Wilkinson. He was preceded in death by his parents and 11 siblings. He is survived by his wife of 57 years, Manie Reynolds Wilkinson, daughter Melba W. Tanner of Rustburg, daughter Amy W. Stout, and husband Bob of Lynchburg, and son Ben Wilkinson and wife Ann of Lynchburg. Additionally, he is survived by three grandchildren, Chris Tanner and wife Danielle of Rustburg, Melanie Tanner and Wes Jordan of Amherst, and Thomas Wilkinson of Lynchburg. One great-grandchild, Nevin Jordan of Amherst. He was an extraordinarily gentle man with a wealth of experience and knowledge. He served in World War II as a combat medic in the Pacific Theater of the United States Army and was rewarded the Bronze Star along with four Bronze Service Stars. He was a member of Rustburg Baptist Church. Retired from the state of Virginia, he was a lifelong farmer who enjoyed gardening, fishing, and spending time with family. And as we celebrate his life, it is appropriate that we turn to the scriptures of which Lester loved so much as we find peace and comfort in this very tough time. In Psalms chapter 23, we begin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In John chapter 14, Jesus reassures us. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And we read of the triumph of those who believe in Jesus Christ, as your beloved Lester Wilkinson did in Romans chapter 8. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather he who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? But just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered a sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And now, as we've heard God's word, let us celebrate with Lester's favorite song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, if you will stand.
Everyone sing.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. I were blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Thank you. You may be seated. One of the greatest joys of being able to do a funeral is to be able to hear the stories of the family. And we had a great time of just celebrating Lester's life, and I heard a lot of different stories. So if you'll just allow me a few moments to tell a few of them. We start with you, Manny. You know, you met Lester at Rustburg Baptist Church, and evidently how the story went, he got one look at you, and that was it. He moved his membership, and that's when it all began. You know, Lester, he lived a life of taking care of you. From the first date, he gave you a ride home from that Halloween party, to when he had to milk your family's cows whenever no one else could. He did it. To building you a home before you ever got married so that when you guys came together, you had a place to be. He built it with his own hands. He always had everything under control. But he didn't just do work. Man, you said, you know, he let you have a lot of fun with him, too. You guys went to Hawaii for your 25th wedding anniversary, and then all sorts of trips. You talked about one down to Florida to go to the veterans reunion that you had just enjoyed so much. Lester knew how to have a good time, and he brought you along with him, didn't he? You know, Manny, you said that, you know, that you did all the worrying for both of them. Well, Manny, if it could be true that you were the beautiful leaves upon this family tree that fell to and fro as the wind blew, then it would be certainly true that Lester was the roots that kept the tree grounded. Quite often he would say to you, Manny, stop worrying. It won't do any good. It's going to be all right. And Manny, it always was, wasn't it? He knew what he was talking about. He always had everything under control. And then Melba, you came along. You know, and your dad, he just couldn't wait until you got old enough that he could teach you checkers. And though it is hotly debated of whether your wins were of sympathy or of skill, one thing is true, he taught you all the same. But he didn't stop there. He taught you how to shoot a rifle, to drive a tractor. And you knew that as you did these things, your dad was just happy to have you along with him, working right aside of you. But your dad did more for you than just teach you. He inspired you to learn. He had a great memory, and he knew the books of the Bible, which I had the pleasure of him repeating back to me. He had memory verses in his brain, and as he did these things, he inspired you to learn them. Because if your dad could do it, well, then so could you. But he didn't just inspire you. He also showed you. He led you with the patience and the peace that emanates only from God. Melba, your father lit the way for you to reach Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. Through your dad, you came to know the Father of us all. Amy, then you came along, and your dad didn't stop teaching at that point. He came and he led you and taught you with that same gentle strength that you just grew to love. Your dad, he taught you how to slow down. Because from your own confessions, you can sometimes have a lead foot, can't you, Amy? Though you sometimes, your drum, you would just beat to a different rhythm than your father at times, he taught you how to slow down. You told stories of how you'd be in the middle of something and it just wouldn't fit. It just wouldn't work, and you get frustrated and wrestle with it, and he would come up beside you as only your dad could with that quiet strength. And he says, Amy, stop fighting it. Just let it go. And it worked then, didn't it? Your dad knew how to slow things down. He taught you how to accomplish things in the right rhythm. Then, Ben, your dad taught you how to persevere. You'd said he always worked despite that horrific accident in 1969. He never slowed down, even though maybe the family wanted him to. As he came back from that, he grew a tobacco crop as soon as he can, which, as Ben explained, that meant the rest of the family grew the tobacco crop. You guys worked together all of your life. You told a story as they were on the toy roof shed, and they had all sorts of sheds out there on the property. Those of you who know the family, you know that quite well. And they're working on this tin roof shed, and you're up on the roof, and I guess Lester was down below on a ladder, and, you know, his face is just right up to the edge of that roof, about 8 foot high. Well, you know, it happened. Ben slipped, and, you know, instead of hitting his father and knocking him off too, he must have jumped, and then Lester, with just incredible cat-like reflexes, he ducked, and there goes his son, 8 feet to the ground. Well, Ben knew how to roll, and he's like shaken up, and Lester looks down, and what there's, you know, he just says, "Are you all right?" As a father would, and then as only Lester would, he says, "Well, then get back up here and finish the job." Lester persevered, and he demanded everyone around him to do it as well. He also told a story about restoring that 55 Chevy. You know, you'd always heard about how your dad tore apart that Model A and then put it back together again, that engine. And you said, "Well, you know, I'm in a time of my life where we're going to do this together." So you bought a 55 Chevy, and you tear the engine down, and then the shock comes. Your dad leans in, and he says, "Wow, I've never taken one apart this far before." But you know what, Ben? You and your dad, you put that back together, and it worked. It always worked. Even though at times there were passionate disagreements about how it was supposed to work and go, you and your dad always persevered together. You learned how to work with your dad. That's a beautiful gift. Chris, your grandpa, he taught you how to plant, to work, and to solve problems. Under that apple tree, you'd spend hours talking about life as he told you stories and explained how the world worked to you. And he had that trusty pocket knife, which he kept so sharp. He used it for eating, for carving, for whatever needed done. In fact, he even told you a story that alarmed you quite a bit. See, I guess back when your grandfather was a little boy, he had his pocket knife, and his brother, James, was right in front of him, and he had this jacket on, and it was just really tight across the back. And as he picked up firewood, that thing would just stretch right out. Well, I guess Lester thought it would be a good test to see how sharp his knife was if he just laid it across his back and see if it would cut. Well, it did, all the way down. And Chris, you just like, what in the world? Did you get a whipping? I'm mad at you. How could you do that to your brother? And your grandfather, he says, worse than getting a whipping. They took my pocket knife away. You know, Chris, he taught you how to work. He taught you how to cut things. He even taught you how to do burnouts in his 1970 Impala. What better could you ask for from your grandfather? And Thomas, your grandfather taught you with that same patience and eagerness that he had. He taught you how to drive tractors, to finish puzzles, puzzle after puzzle after puzzle, as you explained. He even taught you expert driving techniques. I guess they were one day in the toy shed, and your grandpa came up in the golf cart, and he was trying to get into the toy shed there, and he says, "Grandpa, you're never going to make it." And he looked at you with the confidence that Lester had, and he says, "Watch me." And he did, didn't he? Yeah, he did. He taught you how to make it around that corner. One of Lester's favorite sayings is a beautiful one. He says this, "He who plants the seed beneath the soil and waits to see believes in God." Lester was passionate about farming. He loved getting his hands dirty. The process of planting something and then watching it grow. And not only watching it grow, but then being able to feed his family and take care of them with it just intrigued him and thrilled him to no end. But the truth is, his greatest crop wasn't something that grew across the ground. It was something that was eternal. It was you. He grew you. He planted you with love with him and his wife. He watered you through patient, faithful persistence of a loving father. And then he reaped you just when it was right time to go out on your own, knowing you would flourish. And flourish, you did. You see, your husband and father and grandfather planted you with pieces of him. And those pieces still exist. Thomas, every time you stack kernels of corn or firewood, you're going to do it in that pyramid fashion that your grandfather taught you how to do. When you do it, remember him. Chris, your pa planted in you the ability to relentlessly work in unique and brilliant ways until the job is accomplished. Every time you're faced with a challenge that seems impossible, every time you work with brilliance, know that it was a gift cultivated by your grandfather. And just as you whispered in your pa's ears before he passed, it's true, Chris, you did turn out like him. Cherish that. Ben, your father planted in you the enjoyment of working. From your late night garage ventures, you received from your dad the joy of simply getting your hands dirty. Every time you pick up a wrench, in ways, your dad is still with you. When you work, know that a piece of your dad still works with you. Always remember that. Amy, your father, he planted in you the gift of rhythm. Every time you get frustrated, every time things just don't seem like they work, when you hear that voice whisper in your ear, "Amy, just let it go," you'll know that's a gift of your dad. He's whispering it to you. Take pleasure in that. Melba, your father planted in you the gift of your heavenly father. Your dad showed you the peace and patience which emanated through him from the Father of lights. You know God because your dad knew God. Every time you approach our Heavenly Father, and you do so with confidence and complete abandon, know that it was your Father who first showed you the way. Melba, I encourage you, pray like that. Manny, your husband has walked with you for many, many years. He has upheld you with his strength. He has calmed you with his peaceful presence And as each day comes with new challenges, and as the fear of tomorrow grows that it could possibly be lonelier than today, remember the voice of your husband. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. Manny, I encourage you to live like that. And with the help of God, you have grown. You have flourished. And your grandfather and father and husband took great delight in seeing it happen. And this is how he was able to pray his famous prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive us of our sins and help us to feel thankful for this and all other blessings. You are the other blessings. At this time, we will have the song In the Garden played. I asked the family about different scriptures that would really personify the Lester that they knew and loved, and they gave me many. Unfortunately, I had to pick one, and this is what I have chosen that I believe best celebrates Lester's life, and it's the famous words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And out of this passage, there's one verse that I believe does best celebrate your beloved's life. And it's verse 5. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Meek is a term that defined Lester so very well. If you'll allow me just a moment, I'd like to just kind of break this word down for you because it really personifies who Lester was and how much he loved his God. The word meek in Greek does not mean weak. Okay? It does not mean someone who runs away from a fight. It is not a term of someone who is shy. It is not a term of passivity, nor of fear, nor of inability. The word meek comes from a term that's used when someone breaks a horse. When a stallion is wild, there is incredible power there. There is majesty as they run across the hills. In freedom, they drink from water. His strength is his strength, and nobody else can touch it. No one else can really enjoy its use. But something equally powerful happens when that wild stallion is brought under the experienced trainer and is broken when it becomes meek. In this process, the stallion does not lose strength. He does not become less of a stallion. He does not even lose any of his majesty. No, when a stallion becomes meek, he simply learns to share his power with others. He can now pull a plow. He can now ride out into hunting trips. He can now even carry a prince upon his back. And this is what Jesus is pulling us into when he says the meek will inherit the earth. And this is what Lester lived so very, very well. You see, something majestic happens when a man becomes meek, like Lester was. Something magnificent. He loves his wife. He raises his children. He serves his God with reckless abandon. And Lester was able to do all of these things. He was a meek man because he learned what it meant to be meek. And that was to be indwelt with the very power of God. He said it in his prayer, "Heavenly Father, forgive us of our sins." Every day he said that. You know it by heart, every one of you family members. You know it. Lester understood the first part of being meek. He understood that to be meek, a man must first be forgiven of his sins. See, sin is one of these things that keeps God from man and man from God. It's a chasm which cannot be crossed by any good deeds, by anything that we could possibly do. And as we are separated from God, we are separated from his incredible power. We are, in essence, separated from who we were called and created to be. That's why when Lester asked for his sins to be forgiven, he tapped into that strength. You see, Jesus Christ died, knowing that no other way could that chasm be crossed. He died. He sent his son to die for us while we were still sinners. The Bible says while we were still enemies of God, he crossed that chasm for us and he died for us in his son, Jesus Christ. Lester understood that. He lived that. And every day he asked God to cross that chasm between him and God that God might indwell him with his strength and with his power. That is the first part of being meek. But then Lester, as a truly meek man, he finished his prayer with, "And help us to feel thankful for this and all other blessings." To be meek is, in essence, to be totally, consistently under the power of God. That God would take what little power we have and make it mighty. And that way, a man who is meek becomes more than just a man. He becomes a messenger of God with all the power, magnificence, and honor that comes with that. And that is what you have experienced in the life of Lester. That's what he brought to you. He brought God's power. You can be sure that you will miss him greatly. How else could you live? A man that amazing, that great, that meek, who brought God right before you. You will miss him. You will miss him under the apple trees. You will miss him under the hood of the Model A. You'll miss him at the head of your dinner table praying that faithful prayer every time he got a chance. But that's the beauty. The promise to a meek man is this: he will inherit the earth. Jesus says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He has a new heaven and a new earth that he is preparing for those who love him. My friends and my family, that's where Lester is right now. He was a meek man and he inherited the earth. And all those who are meek, and all those who believe in Jesus Christ, and all those who allow Christ to fill you with his eternal life, to them he grants the certainty of a new earth and the promise of no more goodbyes. If you know Lester's God, you will see him again. There is no greater promise that I can deliver to you than that. No greater promise to ease your pains and comfort your heart, to wipe away your tears from your eyes, is that you will see your loved one again. But with that great promise and that great certainty, I ask this question. And this is a question that if Lester could speak this morning, he would ask in my stead. He would say this: do you know my God? Have you allowed him to cross that barrier and save your sins? Have you said just once what Lester said every day of his life? Heavenly Father, forgive us of our sins. This morning, I can't think of a better way to celebrate Lester's life than to give you the opportunity to do that right now. So if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you don't have the hope that this family that sits before me, I can see in their eyes as they cry with tears of sorrow, yet tears of joy and hope. If you do not know this God, then there is no hope. But if you know him, there is all hope. If you want to pray that prayer this morning, then I encourage, if everyone would bow their heads and close their eyes, let's just take one moment this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, please celebrate the joy of Lester's life this morning by joining him as a child of God. Pray this prayer with me. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, pray this prayer. Father, I know that I am a sinner, but I believe that Jesus Christ came and died for me. Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Now, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, take a moment of celebration. If there's anyone here this morning that prayed that prayer with me, if there's anyone that said, yes, Jesus, I need you. I've heard the knocking of my heart just as you knocked upon Lester's so many years ago. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I encourage you, raise your hand. Celebrate Lester's life by raising your hand this morning. Thank you. Father, Lord, we close this ceremony, this celebration of Lester's life, with a thanksgiving to you as he thanked you all these many years. We thank you for your son. We thank you for the certainty of eternal life. We thank you for a man such as Lester, whom you lit in a passionate way that you might use him to lead all of us into faith in you. God, I pray that you would work powerfully in this place, that every person that has heard your word today might leave here confident in you, confident that they will see you someday face to face, confident that they will rejoin their friend, their grandfather, their father, and their husband one day where there will be no more goodbyes. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now the musicians will play a final song, one of Lester's favorites, In the Garden.
You know, Red Henry.
Lester Wilkinson, for the last time in his resting place, we can be assured that this is not Lester's final resting place. It is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 59. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. We have the blessed hope, loved ones of Lester Wilkinson, that you will see him again. That this is not the end, but it is just the beginning. And now Lester stands with our Savior face to face, and he is learning what it means to live truly for the first time. And for those of us who have trusted in Christ, we will see him again. I close with the sayings of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says this at the end of his life, and I believe it's a beautiful statement for Lester's. He says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me also, but to all who have loved his appearing. It is a day of grief. It is a day of celebration. He's run the course. He's finished the race. And he's waiting for us all.
Today we honor an individual that came from an era where our country united under one cause,
that cause was to defeat the evils of the world. Some here today may have been of that generation. Mr. Wilkinson was a member of the greatest generation this country has ever known. We want to thank the family for asking us here today. The uniform troop of the American Legion Post 16 is honored to be here, and we will be reading from the Military Uniform Chaplain's Handbook and agreed thus. We are assembled here today to pay a lasting tribute of respect to our departed comrade Lester Thomas Wilkinson, United States Army. When the call of the country was heard, Comrade Wilkinson answered. Self was forgotten for the cause of the greater good. As a brave man, he marched away with abiding faith in God, country, and flag. The red of our country's flag was made redder by the heroism. The white, more stainlessly pure by the motives which impelled him. And in the starry field of our nation's banner, the blue has been glorified for American ideals. We offer him to the family and we seek the opportunity to express in this formal way the hand of fellowship and words of comfort. We mourn with you, feel as you can, we share your affliction, your loss is our loss. We come to honor the memory of one who offered his life in the service of his country, who is now enrolled in that great spirit army whose footfall causes no sound. But in our memory, their souls still marching on. Proudly we remember their service in time of war, because of them, our lives are free, because of them, our nation lives, and because of them, the world is blessed. We are assembled here to offer our last tribute of respect and affection to our departed comrades. As the years roll by, we know with sorrow and regret that the ranks of our veterans diminish. One by one, our comrades leave us. One by one, they join the company of heroic men and women who have defended their country under arms. Their departure leaves our hearts heavy with sorrow. Assembled here beside the final resting place of our departed comrades, let us bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, in thy hands are the souls of the living and the dead. Remember, O God, we pray thee, the soul of our departed comrades, and conduct it into the place thou hast prepared for it in thy heavenly kingdom. Bestow thy blessing and extend thy healing power to those of our comrades who are still suffering from the tragedy of war. Lift up the hearts of those burdened with sorrow, and to thy name be all honor and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Death is a path that must be trod if one would ever pass to God. Swift will close, ebbs life's day, earth buildings grow dim and fade away. Change and decay along the street. But we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. Shadow of war, well done. Thy glorious warfare passed, the battle fought, the race is won, and thou art crowned at last. Our comrade lies down to rest a while under the arching sky, awaiting the bugle's call. The gold, the silver cord is loosened, the golden hole is closed. We therefore commit his body to the ground to sleep, his soul to endless peace to rest. The dust returneth to the earth as it was, the spirit returneth to the God who gave it. In the tradition of the Army, our honor guard will now fire a 3-volley salute to honor our fallen comrades. taps have sounded, lights extinguished, warfare ended. Farewell, Comrade Wilkinson, United States Army, World War II. On behalf of a grateful nation, the President of the United States, the United States Army, this is a flag your husband most proud of, Mr. God bless you. God bless you. These are the cartridge shells from the rounds that were fired by these soldiers today. Something you may want to share with family members. We need a silent salute, mother, and a family.
Let us close today with a word of prayer. Father, we commit the body of Lester Wilkinson to you. Father, we know that he is in your midst right now. We know the true hope, Lord, that he had in you and we have in you to this day. God, I pray that you would just instill in the hearts, Lord, of all that are grieving, of all that feel lost. Instill in them the hearts, the true certainty that they will see their father, their husband, their grandfather again. Comfort and courage. Give strength for the days to come until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, sir.